So when I was in grade 3, my parents were going out for a drive with me. I believe we're going to visit my grandparents and I would stay there for the weekend. We're in the middle of nowhere, out in farmlands of southern Ohio, and we're kind of hungry and thirsty, so we look for the gas station for snacks and drinks. Finally, we found a gas station. I was the first to go out and I start running towards it. It's surrounded by trees and looks kind of menacing. The gas station was dark outside, and I looked into the front door. It was abandoned, but there was a back door, so we thought maybe there was a guy from the station in there. We went around the back, and there was an axe dug deep into the door. We left right then and there when our car was pulling away. I then noticed somebody walking out from some bushes, grabbing the axe and trying to pull it out from the door. I screamed to my dad. He saw it in the rearview mirror and sped out of there. Today we've tried hard to find any information about the gas station, but unfortunately, we haven't found much, especially because of how long ago it was when it happened. So, I was walking a section of the Appalachian Trail with a couple of buddies when we happened across a bundle of sticks. The sticks were arranged to look like a person. It was obviously placed by somebody, as it was in the dead center of the trail, leaning against a rock. I thought it was cool, so grabbed it and put it in my backpack. Anyway, we finished the hike and set up for the night in our camping spot. We were all pretty wiped out from the long day, so after dinner, we retired to our prospective tents and cocked in for the night. The next morning, I was the first one awake, so I got up to the coffee, and what did I find? An identical bundle of sticks to the ones that we'd found, sitting atop the pile of charred wood from the previous night's fire. The first thing I did was check my pack, and sure enough, the one I'd picked up was still there. Each of my friends swore they didn't put it there. It was obviously the same. It was weird because we're all adamant about not putting it in there, but I can never be sure it wasn't one of them messing with us. The thing that messes with me is the bundle I found in the morning was almost an exact replica of the one we found on the trail earlier, and I find it hard to believe that one of the guys could have made such a close replica without having serious skill, and it's not like either of us would have placed them one on top of the other on the trail beforehand for us to stumble upon because we're way out in the middle of nowhere. So, I was hiking a section of the North Umpqua Trail, northern part of southern Oregon, a few years back with my sister-in-law. It's about a 72-mile trail broken into sections that can be easy to hike to in one day. At this time, I lived about midway up the trail, fairly remote in a small community. It was mid-fall, and we decided to set out. The trail was running along the south side of the Umpqua River, and was pretty up and down in the beginning. We made it to a fairly flat section that was running just above the river. There was this beautiful view of the river through the trees, so we stopped to get some pictures and take a water break. I immediately felt extremely uncomfortable, like we're being watched. I slowly turned my head back to look behind us, and across the trail, up a small incline, through the trees I could see a small meadow. Across the meadow, maybe 15 yards around away from us, was a tent. An old canvas-style tent. As I'm looking, I notice bones strung from the trees to the meadow, like creepy deaf wind chimes or something. My stomach clenched and I dropped. I leaned in and my sister-in-law whispered, "Do not turn around to look behind us, just continue walking and I'll tell you when we run." We were close enough to the river that nobody could get right next to us or could have heard this. She did exactly as I told her, setting off at the brisk walking pace we'd been at before. We got maybe 10 yards and I could hear footsteps through the forest floor coming behind us and slightly above us. That part of the forest is very dense. This is a thick moss covered area under the trees, so footsteps make a very specific sound. I leaned forward and told her to pick up the speed. She did. So did I, and so did whoever was behind us. I leaned forward again and told her to run as fast as she could and not stop until I told her to. For two middle-aged women, both slightly overweight, we ran like the damn wind. I just kept telling her, go, go, go. I could see ahead of us that the trail made an incline and basically reared around a cliff. I knew at this point that whoever it was going to have to come down onto the trail or stop. We kept running. We probably ran at least a mile after that, even though we could no longer hear anyone behind us or above us. That section of the trail was about 9 miles, and we were not halfway through when this happened. We eventually slowed down, but just hurried as fast as we could the rest of the way. We had arranged for her younger brother to pick us up. Now, we made it to the next trailhead fairly early, so we made our way out to the 138 and started walking east towards home, knowing he'd find us. He did, and was shocked at the story. We got home and immediately called our local sheriff, who lived just above us at the ranger station. He came to the house and heard our story. He explained that it might be a day or two before they could get in on the trail, as they had a missing hunter at the time they were searching for too. So a few days go by, and he shows up at the house and told me that we were not crazy or imagining things, as someone really did chase us. I said, what did he found? And he looked down to the ground and looked up and said, I'm not going to tell you what we found or how we found it, because you'd never go hiking again. What we found was not normal and would not happen up here again. He then basically instructed me to never hike unarmed again. I never found out who they were or why they were out there for us, and I also never hiked that section of the trail again, and apparently it completely burnt last year. I also never hiked unarmed ever again. This was huge for me, as I'm not really a gun person. I had many incidents while I was actually living up in a national forest with wild animals and other stranger things, but nothing that scared me like this. So we lived in the woods during quarantine. We'd spend the days there, storm or shine, drinking beers and picking up trash, swimming and just goofing around. We also started doing something that sounds odd to say aloud, but at the time kept us sane. We'd get in the woods, strip our socks and shoes off, and hike, since we wanted to get out to this little lagoon we'd find and lay out there. It was insanely meditative. I also absolutely loved barefoot wandering. It feels very nice and primal in some kind of way. Anyway, there we roamed like that. The more in tune we got with the woods around us, the better we'd feel. Without the chatter between us and the careless stomping of boots, we'd become a part of the woods in a weird way. Now, we'd surprise people pretty often without meaning to, passing within a couple of feet before they noticed us. It was like our guts started calling the shots. We could feel storms brewing. All the creatures seemed to stop minding us, and we walked like that. So whenever the woods went silent, we knew something was coming. It was one of those days with the thick skies and kind of electric air. It had been stormy out for a few days and the woods were pretty empty. We'd only seen maybe two other souls all day. Darkness had started to creep in, quicker than usual. We were heading out of the woods a bit, barefoot and knocking back the dregs of the warm beer, just chatting but not really saying much. I remembered we were coming up to this hill, and all of a sudden, it was like I'd swollen a snowball. I looked up at her, and she was frozen mid-laugh. Something was wrong. The woods were off. We were surrounded by murky shadows and dead silence, heavy silence, intense silence. Then we heard it. It was a metallic sort of sound, a kind of clanging that we can't really make out exactly what is. A metal striking stone, maybe? Over and over. A bit further down the trail, squarely in between us and way out, we stood there like statues, tucked behind some trees, just listening, a shovel and some digging. We crept closer. I remembered how the sound made my palms itch. My friend's face was flushed red. I told myself it was being stupid. In fact, I had in my backpack a little spade that we used to plant flowers and dig up rocks and such. Who was I to judge this person? But then again, that was just a little garden spade. And as we got closer, it became clear that this person had a full-on shovel and was digging in the middle of the trowel. I kept trying to explain it to myself. This person was just digging. It was dusk and a lightning storm was hastening our way. But we all cope with quarantine differently. And sure, it was odd to carry a big shovel out there, but maybe they're burying a pet or something. And sure, it makes no sense that they'd bury their pet in the middle of the trowel, but maybe they're digging up a bike. And yeah, they don't have a bike, but like that on and on in my mind, churning out possibilities but not really getting anywhere, and my gut was really in a knot now. We were almost on him now. I think it was a him. Though they're wearing a hat, scarf and whatnot, all covered in black, which is crazy for the summer. Maybe he loved that spot, and that's just how he went there. My stomach hurt more with every step now. We were both shining in sweat, and the sound of metal striking the earth and stone seemed to be deafening. It's really a primal sort of fear, isn't it? Rooted deep in our guts and completely deaf to every excuse I was handing it. We were just wandering along 1 minute cracking jokes, drinking beer, and suddenly, every neuron was firing and every muscle goes tight enough to snap. My mind is racing. I was taking stock of everything. Two girls, barefoot in swimsuits and overalls, two empty cans of beer, and I had a big bag of trash and my backpack full of stuff. My friend was holding our bucket of rocks, though we'd pick skinny flat stones. Not really for defense, but water skipping. I had a can of pepper spray buried somewhere in my bag, but to my dismay, I couldn't access it easily. It feels so insane looking back. I've never been in a fight, and I've never really raised my voice much. I'd spent most of my days talking to toddlers about emotional regulation, and yet here I am, suddenly getting ready for God knows what, tallying up what I could use as a weapon against a stranger. But all of the excuses I made for this person had suddenly faded away. Maybe my gut was wrong. Maybe he's doing one of a million things. Maybe he'd feel awkward and embarrassed and see us and bolt away. But what if it's right? What is the cost if I'm correct? If we walk past and he swings a shovel, then what? What would the excuse cost us? Something shifted and I don't know what. It felt like a high voltage situation. A single spark in a gas-choked room. My friend went white, said the first word we had exchanged to each other, "Don't look at him and run." We ran, crashed into the woods off the trail, close to the water. We could jump in if he chased us. We sprint in, literally leaping over boulders, ducking under trees, thorns and stones, and sticking into bare soles. I didn't feel them. Didn't even notice the blood on my feet until we broke out of the tree line. Later on, we tried to piece it together, tried to understand what had happened. We were completely confused and perplexed, and definitely felt a strange sense of invincibility while sneaking around the woods. It wasn't until we're home, bandaging our feet, that we felt that we'd got out of it. Now, God knows what would have happened if we didn't make it out of that situation the way that we did. God knows what would have happened if he had stopped shoveling and started walking towards us or chased us. This wasn't really deep woods camping, because my friend and I were staying at a designated camp area in a state park. But it's still a scary story. So in the middle of the night, I want to say around 1 a.m, I'm woken up to the sound of gunshots. Two of the other friends in my tent were also awake. It sounded like the gunshots were getting closer and closer over the course of half an hour. It went from "that sounds far away" to "that sounds like a bullet about to hit the camp." Like I said, this is a state park where hunting is illegal, which either meant some reckless hunter was ignoring the laws and hunting after midnight, or some deranged lunatic is just walking around taking shots randomly into the woods. So, friends and I stay low to the ground, afraid that a stray bullet will come into our tent. Eventually, we begin to see spotlights crossing over the roof of our tent as state troopers in a helicopter begin searching the area for the suspect. An hour after we heard the gunshots, we also heard some police sirens around the main road above us. So the campsite was located at the bottom of a valley. There were sounds of "drop the weapon." I said, "drop the weapon." A few more sounds of gunshots and some dudes frantically scrambling and following instructions, then eventually silence. The next morning, we went to ask the campsite managers if they knew what happened last night. It turns out, there was a guy who lived in a house higher up the side of the mountain above the main road. He did some meth that night and decided it would be fun to fire his gun at any cars that passed by. The state troopers arrived and arrested him. There's also bullets in some of the trees around camp and in one of the RVs that was parked up. I'm just really relieved that no one was hurt or killed by the gunman, especially after seeing how close the bullets come to some of the campers' tents. It could have easily hit us. Now, I distant hike when I can. Sometimes that means getting up early or staying out late to get as many miles in as possible. Sometimes walking in the pitch dark with a low light headlamp gets really spooky. I grew up in the woods of this area. I slept under a canopy of stars more nights than I can count. I've literally trekked thousands of miles of trail, riverbank, lakeshore, ridge, bottoms, bogs and creeks. I've hunted the game. I'm establishing this because it's important for you to understand that I've seen and heard and smelt just about everything the region has to offer in terms of the wilderness. The scariest experience though happened around 4:30 in the morning. It was in late spring, and the first morning light wouldn't really be visible in the treetops for at least another 45 minutes or so. Now, I'm at the bottom that's wedged between two steep ridges. The trail I'm on was muddy, narrow, and completely helmed in thick underbrush, young maple, and old oak growth. I'm focused on the small light from my headlamp. Just one step after another and I zone out. Then I hear a loud crack and I freeze. This is a part I had trouble describing. 4:30 in springtime means I'm the only thing making noise, no birds at this hour, dead quiet. Mid-step I froze. When fight or flight kicks in, you have these immediate instinct thoughts. The thought that instantly flashed in my mind as I stood there balancing myself is, if I hear that again, I'm turning around and I'm going back in a hurry. Why? Because that sound was not a branch breaking, it wasn't deadfall, it wasn't a widowmaker. I'm pretty sure I just heard something intentional. Hearing it twice, well, that meant get out of there. To describe it as best I can, it sounded like a decent sized wooden stick being violently whacked against a tree. More a fungo bat sized stick than a baseball bat. The distinction in my head being that this sound was a crack, not a thud or thump. It's kind of like an explosive sound, but almost like it wasn't. It was terribly loud. I had the sense that it was about 50 yards in front of me and clear. Now, as I sit there completely shocked, I realize the soon-to-be worst part of my situation. I knew where the sound came from, and I knew where the trail went. In about 30 yards, I was going to come up to a 180 degree turn and start up the ridge going away from the creek. This meant as soon as I got the courage to move towards this noise, I was going to have to turn back to it and get up that ridge. This made me very nervous. Now, I was really worried about maybe finding a murderer or Bigfoot or God knows what. Now minutes pass. I just breathe my foggy breath into my glasses and listen. Nothing. Dead quiet. I get about 20 or 30 minutes until first light. I crank up the headlight, and start to slowly creep to my 180 turn. When you wear a headlamp in the woods at night, every tree branch can make a really large shadow in front of you, and it makes moving on a trail very difficult. So I get to the turn and also quickly make the bend. I'm moving pretty fast at this point, trying to be quiet, taking tiny shallow breaths so I can listen to whatever's up ahead of me. And then I smelt it. It's a smell that I can't describe. I just imagine wet, rotten death. I've actually worked scenes where human remains have been found in the past as a firefighter. This was like days-old decomposition, and it just smelled strange. I'm walking fast, but by the time I made it to the top of the ridge, I was huffing and the first light was showing. I didn't stop moving until full light was out and the birds were chirping. I've heard it all in our woods. I've smelt it all, I'm telling you, but I don't know what the hell that was. Deadfall. And especially branches do make sounds, but nothing like this. My family used to go camping with a few groups of friends when I was a kid. I remembered one Christmas when I was 5, we were camping out in the bush. There were 9 of us in total at our campsite. We were allowed to wander through the bush. The parents would give us a walkie-talkie and tell us when to come back to camp. We never went far away. Anyway, out of nowhere, an unfamiliar voice came over. It's a man's voice. He said he was Santa and he was trying to find us to give us our presents and asked us to look for him. We all ran back to our campsite excited to say about Santa speaking to us. Then the walkie-talkie was taken off of us and we weren't allowed to go out anywhere. We were all pretty devastated at the time, but now, as an adult, I understand the pure creepiness of it. I still don't know who was talking to us to this day. Now, I'm not exactly what you guys on here would call a park ranger, but it's basically the equivalent in the country that I live. I have a couple of stories for you today. Now, the first is actually from my childhood, one from when I was younger than I am now. My father really liked to go out on adventures with myself and my brother, and he always planned really cool stuff for us to do. One of these trips involved us going out into the woods and going out camping together. Now, this was really interesting for us, and we'd never been out in the snow before like this, so of course it would bring new challenges, but it would also bring some new adventure. My other brother at the time didn't bother accompanying us, so it's just me and my dad, but I didn't mind it that way. Sometimes I find that my brother can be a bit self-indulged and only really listen or talk about himself and not really give you good advice back. It's quite annoying because I always seem to give him the bestest advice that I possibly could, but that didn't matter, at least not on this trip. Now, we basically planned to go out into the woods for a good couple of days, camping and hiking along the way, and this was brilliant for me, as I love to go outdoors. Now, we drove up to the area that we needed and we set out. We were following the main path and had a designated site that we were going to go camping in. My dad did this for safety reasons, as of course his son was with him, and he didn't want to be too far away from everyone. When we set out, the snow was no longer falling, but there was a lot of snow around, and snow on the trees, so that just meant you had to be a little bit careful when you were walking, because it wasn't always clear whether the ground was kind of like a dry snow or a wet snow. And if it's sort of soggy, you can easily get your shoes wet and you have to pretty much head back if that happens. So, being relatively careful, we set out. At first, we're walking through some relatively low bushes and quite big trees. They're kind of like the tall, skinny kind, if you know what I mean. They're basically really beautiful, and I'm really having a good time on the first part of my adventure with my dad. I absolutely love to go on trips like this with my father. He's really one of my best friends, so I was having a great time. The trees eventually become more dense, and some of the snow is falling off of the trees and hitting us on the head. and it's a little bit annoying because you have to keep brushing your hat just to try and keep dry. But it's fine, and again, adds to some of the adventure. Now we hike for quite a while, and eventually make it out to the spot that we're going to camp in. The snow has actually picked up a little bit, and my dad sets to work, and he made me help with the tent, not only to learn the importance of it, but also because it's important for staying warm. Now one thing I was really looking forward to, and my dad especially, was the night sky. We were going to see some beautiful stars out here because we're far away from most populations and miles away from worrying about light pollution. It's something I hadn't really experienced before living in a populated city, so this was a treat. We eventually get up the tent and go inside for a while, and my dad then starts the fire. It doesn't take him too long because he has all the appropriate equipment with him, but he's very cautious to make sure the fire's going nice and strong. He has plenty of firewood around, so this is really good, and I know it's going to be more than enough to keep us warm. The fire eventually melts some of the snow around where we are, and it makes it very warm, so I'm really grateful for this. We sit there talking about different stories, and my dad said, "Hey, look up at the stars, you never know if you're going to see a shooting star." And unfortunately I didn't see any that night, but that's no worries whatsoever. I'm just really glad to be out here and have some bonding time with my father. So the first night goes as planned and everything's good, and we actually have a small heater in the tent, so we're really warm and toasty. We wake up the next day and everything's as normal. We set out where we're going to hike a little bit further for the day and see some of the views that are around. And this place is really beautiful. The hills kind of look a bit mountainy, and again, it's something that's a relatively new experience for me, so I'm really excited to see it all. So, we set out further and further and get to a point where my dad says that we need to head back, just in case we get lost, and I completely understood. Now, while there, my dad can hear what sounds like a wolf howling. It seems to be a lone one, but it really frightens my dad. Seeing my father scared actually scares me a lot too. He said, "Son, we better head back." He didn't have to explain to me why it was, and I was pretty glad to be heading back now. I didn't actually hear too much, to be honest, at the time of the wolves. It was more my dad picked up on it, and I guess I kind of noticed, but not really. But it was pretty creepy, so we continue our hike and eventually make it back to the camp, and my dad once again gets a fire going. We cook some food over the fire, and again we're just having a really good time basically, and we decide that we're going to head in for the night. Now throughout the night we can definitely hear some kind of animal howling. Now I know this might sound weird, but I really don't know what animal this was. I realised too, my dad seemed relatively unsure of exactly what this was, and again it kind of worried me. I was very worried about wolves coming to get me, even though that realistically is quite unlikely that it would ever happen. Especially not with the way that we're armed, but I don't know. It's just something kind of creepy that you don't really experience often in life unless you're in those kind of situations where you're in the middle of nowhere like that. So anyway, we ended up falling asleep after not too long, and waking up again in the night to realise that the fire's been put out. "That's really odd," my dad says. "Did you leave any water around?" I say no, of course not. And my dad looks a little bit worried and confused. We definitely had the fire going and more than enough wood in it, but it seems to have gone out almost. It looks like somebody's done it on purpose, but we're pretty sure this is some kind of accident, and maybe I left water next to it that got knocked over. Not to worry. We head out again for another day of adventuring. Now on this particular day, we did some more hiking and sightseeing, and we actually tried to do some ice fishing, which I can tell you was pretty unsuccessful. So, we start heading back to the tent on the way home. As we get back to the tent, it's pretty much the same thing again. We basically put everything away and get the fire going, cook some food, then settle in for the night. Now, I'm awoken at some point in the night, confused as to why I can see my dad outside, I can just about see the silhouette that's portraying a shadow onto the tent. I don't think much of it and fall asleep again, thinking maybe my dad's just went out to use the toilet, or maybe he's worried about the fire. The following morning, I woke up and I said to my dad, "Dad, what were you doing last night?" He says, "What do you mean?" "I wasn't doing anything." I say, "Yeah, what were you doing to the fire outside?" And now suddenly my dad looks really concerned. He looks at me and says, "No, son, I've been here the whole time. What happened?" And I explain what happened, and he seems somewhat worried. He says, "Son, it was probably just something in your imagination, so try not to worry about it too much, but worry me it did." I don't really see my dad too scared often, but there was definitely something off. I had certainly seen somebody the previous night. I don't know, maybe it's just where I wasn't used to being out there and I was a little bit uncomfortable and I was just imagining things. But this was pretty creepy to say the very least. So anyway, we set out once again, and everything's as normal like usual. As we set out, we've basically come into one of our last days, and we're just having a normal conversation as usual. While we're there, we stop, and we can see somebody up on the ridgeline, just further away from where we are. It's quite hard to see, but they seem to have a really large brownie colour coat on, which is really odd. We wave and say hello, but there's no reply. My dad seems to get a little bit concerned at this and tells me that we need to head back now. So, a little bit bored now, we're just sitting there with the fire going, making food, not really saying anything. And my dad seems more worried than before. He says he's going to investigate something and not to worry, and I say okay, and wait for my dad to return 4 or 5 minutes later, which he does. I say, "Dad, what happened?" And he says nothing, just get ready for sleep. My dad gets the fire going even stronger, and we settle in for the night. We fall asleep and wake up the next morning to realise that the fires went out once again, definitely by water, which is really bizarre. It can't have possibly been from the snow or the trees, because there wasn't much around there, especially not in the spot that we're in, but how did it go out? This is really bizarre. Now we get our things together and head out for the final day's adventure. We once again go to do some lake fishing, and really want to try and get some fish this time, because it's something I haven't really experienced many other times, and I've never caught anything fishing, and my dad loves fishing, so he keeps on and on going on about it, but I tell him how boring it can be, but he will not listen. His father also did fishing too, so that's definitely why he liked it so much. So we surprisingly actually catch one single tiny fish, and I joke to my dad about it, but he's eager for us to get it back to our campsite and put it on the fire. And that's exactly what we do. So we make it all the way back again, and we start the fire, and everything's as normal. We eat the fish, then we decide that we should just start heading home the next morning, earlier than usual, because we're both a bit bored now, which is completely fine. As we're sitting there, just roasting some food over the fire, we can see a strange figure once again, just off in the distance. It's a silhouette of a person wearing some kind of coat, which kind of looks like a very dark colour against the background, but this is basically just because of how dark it is now. Now the stars look absolutely beautiful at this point, but they're not really casting enough light down on us for us to be able to see well. But it's definitely a person there. I joke to my dad saying it's probably a snowman, but my dad doesn't really seem to be in the mood for jokes. He then says hey, and shouts out hey again and waves, but there's no reply. That's when my dad says that he's going to investigate a little bit, and I trail slowly behind him. We can see whatever this figure is holding up some kind of stick to the sky. Now what's really weird in this moment is we both realise the clothes that this person's wearing. The clothes do not look like somebody that's from the 21st century. They look very primitive, and all of his clothes are from some kind of animal hides. And how he wasn't cold, I'll never know, because we were cold enough with our new high-tech gear on, but This was really weird. It looked like somebody coming from a fancy dress or costume shop, if you guys call it that. But why would he be out here like this? Again, we called out, but we don't get any reply whatsoever. And we probably get about 40 or so feet from him, and we can see that this is a much older man just staring at us, still holding up some kind of stick into the air. That's when my dad turns around and says, "Son, you know what to do." And I did. I didn't need any further instructions as we start trudging back through the snow again. My dad's holding my hand, and he won't take his eyes off of this person. He says, "Son, do not take your eyes off of him. If he moves one inch, tell me." And I start to panic a little bit and start putting everything away. I eventually do so, and that figure is still there, having only moved very slightly. We get everything together and I tell my dad, and he says it's time to go. My dad doesn't even bother putting out the fire, and we start the slow trek back with only our torches to guide us. Luckily, there's enough light on the ground from the snow illuminated for us to be able to see where we're going, and we start the trek back. While walking, I keep looking over periodically, and that guy is still there, barely moving, until eventually, he turns away into the woods. This makes us pick up our pace a little bit because we can't really see what direction he's going in. And I kid you not, we can hear the sounds of wolves once again. My dad still has his lights on because he thinks it's probably going to scare the wolves a bit, and he has his weapon ready. Luckily, we make it back to the car and everything's uneventful at this point. We quickly get into the car, wait for a good 5 or 10 minutes, which has got to be the most terrifying part, while he's able to get the engine going and the car ready to drive. During these moments, my dad tells me, "Please tell me if you see anything, son," and I promise him, and we have the doors locked. My dad still has his weapon in hand at this point, and thank God the car comes to life. My dad slowly turns it round and gets the car onto the road, and we start making the way back home. I say, Dad, what did you see?" And my dad tells me, whatever he saw was definitely not a person. He then reveals to me that when he went off earlier in the day and before, he had seen the exact same figure that looked terribly dated and out of place for the situation they are in. He said it almost looks like he's bumped into some kind of time traveler, or we've bumped into them. We are both very scared by this experience, and my dad made me promise that I wouldn't say anything to my mum because he knew that she would never let us out there again. Now, we never did go back to there ever again afterwards. Looking back on it now and speaking to him more recently, he's revealed to me how scared he was at the time, and that he didn't want to show me how scared he was at the time, but he was really feeling it. Now, I'm certain we bumped into some kind of weird spirit there that we weren't really supposed to see, and we were trespassing on their land and they were not happy about it. It still remains one of the weirdest experiences of my life. Now, I've always thought I had some kind of connection with the paranormal, whether I wanted it or not, and one of those actually come from being on site during my job. Now, as part of my job, I had to go every so often to check out some environmental thing. I won't bore you with the details, but I had to check markers at certain points. Mind you, this is well into my adult life, so I wasn't as scared being out in the forest or parts of it, relatively isolated from others. I always had the help of the other people working the same job as me, but it would take them a while to get there. But luckily we had our radios to stay into contact with each other, and this always made me feel a lot more safe than not. Now, I was on my way to one of these specific markers, and as I'm walking, I stopped dead in my tracks. Just in the misty October air above where I'm standing, I can see some people over the hill. Now, once again, this is just like what happened when I was younger with my dad, so I had some paranoia from it, and I decided it'd be best for me to stay outside and not necessarily investigate immediately. I quickly come off of the main road that I'm on, and face away from the sun, and quickly go into the woods a bit. I stand so that I'm parallel with one of the trees, and just sort of out of sight. I wait for a good 4 minutes and nothing happens, but something was telling me do not move, and wait and see what happens, and that was just what I did. After another good 5 or 10 minutes of this, I eventually see more figures coming up the road. They get closer and closer, and they seem to be armed, causing me to duck down a little bit. Because of the mist, I can't really see exactly who they are or what they're wearing, but they eventually come closer and closer, and I think maybe there's some people lost from a party, because they're carrying some kind of big swords and have weird shaped helmets on them and long beards. They get a little bit closer, and I can see that what they're wearing is armor and animal clothing. I immediately have flashbacks to what me and my father saw that time. I then realize these look like warriors from a prehistoric time. But the strangest part is, I can't see anything below their knees. It's almost like they're hovering through the ground, which is the strangest part. At first I'm convinced that maybe this is just from the mist and it's kind of obstructing them, but then I realize it's not the case. Literally, it's like they're walking through the ground, which makes me realize these aren't real people. There's probably about 7 or 8 of them in total, and they don't take notice of me because where I am, and my god, I'm too scared to make it known. I wait for a couple of seconds and look around, just to see if there's any others I have to worry about. Now, they're in absolute silence at this point. I turn back and they've vanished. Literally like they didn't exist in the first place. Now the craziest thing about this is there would have been no possible way they could have hidden in that time. So I know something was definitely up. Now after this experience, I immediately went back home and told my dad after my shift what had happened. I didn't tell any of the other workers initially because I didn't want them to think I was off my head, but my dad said, "Son, where was this?" And I explained the exact location, and he then revealed to me something that I couldn't believe. The path that I was standing on was once a medieval road that was discovered not too long ago and was buried about 2 or so feet beneath the path that had been laid more recently. So that would have made perfect sense as to why I couldn't see from their knees below, which is exactly what I saw. I think that maybe I have some kind of connection to the spiritual world, where I can see moments in time that others can't. Now, I haven't told any of my colleagues about what happened in this story per se because, you know, I can't really be bothered with too many questions. If this had have happened and my dad didn't tell me that about the road before, I wouldn't have really questioned it, but knowing this, I can only possibly believe that it was paranormal. While working as a ranger, I'd made some really good friends, and even when we were off duty, sometimes we'd all go out camping together. One of my favourite places that we'd go camping was deep in the woods somewhere, and it had some cabins there that you could all share and use. We decided to share a couple because it'd kind of be a better laugh than if we were in individual ones, and it would save us some money, so that's what we did. Now, none of us had actually been out to this spot before, so we were hoping it was going to be quite desolate, and the day that we arrived, it was. We were really happy to see no other cars in the car park, but we still had a bit further to go to make sure that nobody else was here. We had to hike for about a good 4 or so hours, so this meant we brought lots of water with us. The journey there was basically uneventful, and we just sharing different stories. One ranger shared a really weird story about how he saw some lights in the sky that he couldn't really describe. He said apparently one night while he was on duty, he thought he was looking at stars through his binoculars when suddenly one of them started to move, then a few more of them moved, and they suddenly vanished. We're all making jokes about his age and him losing it because he's someone who likes to go on about aliens and stuff all the time, but I didn't really believe it. thinking maybe it was some kind of satellites or fireflies or God knows what. He would tell us to knock it off, and he would get a little bit annoyed, so we tried not to joke about it too much with him. Some of the rangers had been doing it for years, and some of the others were relatively new, like me. I was new to the job, but not necessarily new to being outdoors. I'd been a Boy Scout previously, and I had a couple of scary experiences of my own. One that I shared that was really weird was when we all went out on a trip one day with the scouts camping. I had to get up and use the bathroom. You had to go a little bit of a way to get to the outhouse, and I didn't mind too much because at the time, nothing scary ever really happened to me, and I felt pretty invincible with my scout uniform on. Yeah, I don't know why, but hey, that was my mindset at the time. So I just got finished doing my business and I heard someone go, "Hey, hey." I stopped dead in my tracks because I knew nobody else had come with me. They kept on saying, "Hey," and I looked up and I could just about make out somebody at the tree line wearing all black. Their voice was very deep and clearly this was an adult, and he said, "Hey, and my name, do you want to play hide and seek?" I said, "No, I should really be getting back now." He says, "Come on, your friends are all playing it too, you're missing out." Now, I knew for a fact this wasn't possible because all of my friends are back at the campsite, so I just turned and ran. I ran all the way back and smartly, or not so smartly, immediately told the other guys what had happened and they all started panicking. I then had the sense to tell one of the elders there who was leading us, and he very quickly made us walk all of the way back to the car and called the police on the way. I never found out exactly what happened from that, but it definitely put some paranoia into me naturally. Then, another one of the scouts actually came up with a somewhat similar story to my own. He said he was actually playing tag this time, to which I joked, "You are probably the person out there," and everybody laughed. He said, apparently, they're all playing tag when he seems to get lost out in the middle of nowhere. He said for some reason he didn't panic at all, but he felt strangely drawn to keep on walking further and further into the forest. He said he eventually saw some other people just by a lake and went over to say hey, but something made him stop just before he could actually reach them. For whatever reason, and what he still doesn't know to this day, he decided to duck down and hide. And he said that while hiding, he realized that they were going to pass by him, so he basically buried himself amongst the foliage and tried to cover his skin as much as he could and just get out of sight. Apparently, while walking past, he overheard them saying, "I told you this isn't a good place to hide a body," to which the other responded, "I'm telling you, no one's out here and it's completely fine." Now, apparently, he waited here for a good hour or so before eventually emerging. Apparently, he sprinted back to the site and told them what happened, and nobody believed him. The craziest part is they stayed there and finished the trip, and they went home like normal, and he never reported it any further, thinking nobody would believe him. So yeah, I guess that kind of sets the tone for the kind of stories that we're telling each other. Now, I felt insanely confident being out there with so many different rangers, including myself. I felt invincible being out there on my own with that ranger uniform. Even though we didn't have it on this time, I still had that air of invincibility. So, we eventually make it to the campsite and the cabins, and luckily, nobody else is in sight. Apparently, there was potentially going to be one other person that was going to stay there with us, but they ended up bailing, so they weren't sure if they were going to come or not, and that was fine. So, we set him for the night and made ourselves cozy. We had a good time, and eventually got a campfire going and made some food. Now, while we were eating, I looked back at the cabin and I said, "Hey, I think the other guys turned up, because we can see a silhouette in one of the other cabins." I waved, but I don't get a response. I think maybe the person was facing the other way, or just didn't take notice of me and didn't think much of it. Now, what was strange the following day is literally none of us saw this person reemerge from the cabin, and we didn't hear much of anything. We periodically say hey when we walk past the cabin, hoping for someone to emerge, but it was really bizarre. Eventually, curiosity got the better of one of the others, and they went to go and knock for him and found the door locked. That was when we realized that nobody was in there, and nothing had changed since we'd last walked past it. Now, I think maybe, just maybe, my mind was playing tricks on me, but I was pretty convinced I had seen someone in there, and I think this is really odd. So the next few days go completely uneventful, and we have a great time fishing and just hiking and taking in some of the beautiful scenery around us. It truly was beautiful, and it's something that I really recommend people do, getting out into the great outdoors more if possible. So we head in for another night. As we're all laying there talking, getting ready to fall asleep, I hear a strange banging sound coming from just under my bed. It's really weird, it sounds like somebody's hitting it with a fist, but it's not possible. There's nothing below us. I think maybe it's some kind of animal that's tried to break in, or maybe it's the other guy outside, so I quickly jump up. I go outside with one of my other friends and we search the perimeter but don't find anything. That's pretty odd. We all think maybe it was just some animal that we didn't expect to be here and settle in for the night. And we wake up the next day like normal. So, coming towards the end of our trip, we have a usual day of hiking ahead of us, and we're just generally having a good time relaxing. One of us has a guitar with us and he's playing some beautiful music, and it sounds like the notes are reflecting off of the water near us, which was really beautiful, I have to say. So, we eventually get the fire going again and we're all telling ghost stories to each other. One of us is telling us about how apparently he saw a headless person when he was much younger on holiday somewhere in Europe. And again, we don't really believe him, but you can see he's getting really freaked out. He says apparently he was asleep at the holiday resort with his parents when they thought one of the hotel guests was outside, or maybe staff member. Apparently, his mum went to ask what was wrong, and a figure turned around that was literally headless and seemed to vanish. Yeah, I didn't really believe it much either, and we all joked about this and once again settled in for the night. Now, I don't know why, something just felt different this time. Everything was normal around us, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Something just felt off. Now, just as we're settling in, I slowly fall asleep, and I'm awoken by a loud banging sound. I think it's one of the other guys who's outside who hasn't been able to get in, so I quickly get up. The banging then intensifies, and there's slamming on the doors and windows. I look around, and I account for everybody still inside. I don't know what the sounds are. I think this is really odd, but just as I go to get up again, I can hear the winds really picking up outside. Convinced now that the other person's actually showed up in the other cabin and wants to get in, I shout out, "Hey, alright, I'm coming," and go to open the door, but it's locked. Now I realise that something's really up. One of my friends says, "Hey guys, listen." You can hear the banging coming once again from under the bed that I was staying in. None of us know what to do in this moment, and my friend looks at me, absolutely terrified. None of us know what to do, and yet all of us are prepared for being in situations we aren't comfortable with. It's almost a surreal moment where you don't want to move, but you feel like staying still is not a good option. This went on for a good 5 more minutes with the banging sounds, and eventually the wind stops, but the banging sounds continue. It seems like it's impossibly dark outside, until eventually it stops. We all remain in complete silence now, waiting just to hear if anything else is going to happen. Nothing does. And the bravest amongst us, one of my friends, goes and tries the door again and it opens. And the craziest thing? Everything's completely as it should be. And he looks around and there's no signs of any life whatsoever. He comes back in and locks the door behind himself and closes all of the blinds and the sheets covering the windows. Something is definitely off now. One of us decides to stay on guard while the others go to sleep, and one of my friends switches with him after a couple of hours. I was very grateful for this because I was so exhausted from the adrenaline of what had happened that I needed to sleep. I must have only slept for about 20 minutes, but God, I was grateful for it. The next morning we woke up in silence and none of us really said anything to each other. We all start packing up our things immediately and cancel all the remaining plans for the day. I start to pack up my things, and as I move the mattress to get something I placed under the bed, I see a red thing that I didn't notice before. I move the mattress out of the way and eventually pull the bed up, and I can see a circle with a pentagram painted in what seems to be blood directly below my bed. I say, "My God, guys, guys," and all of the other guys turn around and see what I'm seeing. I'm not joking, I was literally sleeping directly above some kind of God knows what animal or person's blood in the shape of a pentagram. We didn't need to see anything else and we immediately start the hike back. I felt absolutely violated not realizing that I was sleeping above this thing. And maybe that was the source of all of the strange things that had happened the following night. I didn't know. I was just furious at the person that we were renting from not telling us that about the cabins. We eventually get back and I immediately make contact with him. And apparently he knew nothing about it and he said he was going to send one of his guys over there to investigate and clear it up. We agreed that we would never go back to that site again. God knows what happened before or after we were there, but we were happier not knowing. I'm a long haul truck driver, and I've seen a couple of weird things that I couldn't really explain. However, there was one which really takes the crown as being the weirdest, and I think you understand why. So I've been doing quite a long drive across state actually, and I was relatively tired of the drive. I needed to rest, so I quickly find a gas station which I can pull over into and ask if I can park in the back and just shut my eyes for a while, which they agreed. Waking up, I'm feeling far more refreshed now and I set off again. I don't make it too much further before eventually I see somebody at the side of the road. They seem like they're in a lot of trouble and I stop to help. Now they're crouching over like they're injured, but when they turn, they're wearing a clown full mask. Now, as I stop, I do the window up quickly, realizing something's wrong. I look in the rearview mirror and I suddenly realize that there are more people moving behind, at least three of them. And then, somebody else pops up holding something in the road. I kid you not, there's somebody standing dressed as a clown in the middle of the road holding something that looks pointy. I immediately ram onto the accelerator and I aim right for this person. I'm kind of ashamed to admit it, but I don't care if they got hurt at this point. They quickly jump over to the side of the road and I speed off as quick as I can in my truck. I look again behind just to see if they're following me, and I see a group of five people, all dressed pretty much the same, standing there. They then begin to wave me off as I drive off into the distance. I then drove for a good 5 hours almost without stopping, until eventually I make it to another big rest stop where I pass out. I still don't know who they were to this day, or whether I was targeted specifically, but my God did it scare the life out of me. Last year, I was out in Colorado exploring campsites near Boulder. Got into camp around 10 p.m, accompanied by a few flurries, no problem. I grew up in New England winters, so it didn't really make a difference for me. But I also wasn't having a fire due to the restrictions, so I got my SUV ready for sleep and got cozy with some Netflix. I was about to drift off to sleep when I hear something outside. Now, I'm used to the vulnerability of camping and various sounds at night. This was and still is unexplainable to me. Now, I hear crying, really disturbing crying, which seemed close to my car. For reference, this road has a bunch of random dispersed camp spots, but none of which I'm too close to or have ever heard crying, and I shouldn't be close enough to hear that. I mute my Netflix and stay alert. The crying slurs into higher pitched laughter, and then slurs into low pitched laughter. Now, it's hard to exactly say what it was, but it sounded like almost laughter, but crying. I think, God, what? The cry laughing was not like a hyena, and had a distinctive human quality to it. Now, this was definitely bizarre, to say the very least. Now, I've overheard some hikers talking, but this was different. Maybe they were cry laughing. This actually scared me more than an animal. I've seen moose before, and for the record, the campsite had a lookout, and I don't know, they never spotted any here. So, back to my situation. The cry laughter moved and increased in frequency. Now, it's getting quite weird. What I mean by this is that it cry laughed to the right of me, then cry laughed near the back of the car, then impossibly far out and back again. No way a person or animal could have moved so quickly without shuffling noises. It was almost surreal sounding. Now, hearing wildly unfamiliar weepings and sounds is really the stuff of nightmares for me. Now, the weeping seemed to be disembodied, and I was freaked. I told to myself, breathe like you know how to. You've got to move. I had a thought that maybe there was somebody living in the brush out there who'd lost it. Only came out past 10 p.m. in snow, and pranced around cry laughing with a rock outside the car waiting to smash into the window as soon as I looked out. But that seems unlikely. I was nearly froze, but heard that breathing. I really managed to get myself to move a little bit and think, and especially forcing my own breathing helped with that. I double locked my car doors, hoping that the beep would alert the intruder that I was awake and unhappy. I got out from my sleeping bag, even though I feared the movement would be sensed, and hopped into the driver's seat. I wanted to vomit, breathe, but turned the car on, the headlights and the brights. Then I took down the sun visor, covering the windshield only partially to see my moose friend on the opposite side of the road, munching away at veg. Okay, are the weeping sounds coming from the moose? I'm not convinced, especially not because it's eating. Now, it took about 5 minutes to get to the end of the road, and I parked before hitting the main road to collect myself. I realized I left my propane. It was like $9 and I didn't want to waste it, so I took another deep breath. I decided to head back and survey the area. Certainly, I'd be able to catch anyone crouched in the bushes if it was a person, and I could just drive away. I had my headlamp and the brights on when I drove to the campsite, again taking a deep breath. I jumped out of the car to grab the propane and claim the space or stand my ground, that type of thing. But nothing. I can't explain it, so the stand my ground energy was short lived. It's after 11 at this point and I'm just tired and uneasy now, so I'm out, onto a backup spot, and of course it's hard to climb down. All I've got as a possible explanation is a super calm moose started making the sounds, but I don't buy it. I really don't know what this could have been or whether it's a crazy demented person out of there. But what's really bizarre is the way that the sound moved away so quickly and then reappeared again, impossibly quick. Now, in 2017, one of my good friends who lived in Portland, OR, was offered a new job in Long Island, New York, and took it. He asked me to fly out so I could road trip with him across the country so he wouldn't have to be alone. Of course I agreed. I flew out from JFK to PDX. We have many stories from this road trip, but none stranger than what happened to us in Ohio. After a few days on the road, we had entered Ohio. I wish I remembered exactly where this took place, but honestly I don't recall. All I know is that it was past Zanesville, heading east. My buddy was driving. As I was reaching towards the ground, trying to grab my phone that I had dropped, he suddenly said, "This old lady next to us keeps pointing at me. I think she wants me to pull over." I was always paranoid and saying, "No, keep driving." But he pulled over. A black Escalade with plates from Alaska pulled over in front of us. Out comes this lady, who's no younger than 60, saying, "I'm glad I got to you boys when I did. Your tires are smoking." Now, it's important to note that we're towing his Camry with U-Haul that we're in. Side note, this happened in Zanesville. Now, we got stuck in the parking lot. Couldn't have found any backup, so had to rehitch his car. We realized later that he left the emergency brake on. Anyway, after she said this, we looked at each other completely puzzled and immediately turned to the tires. They were absolutely smoking, like they had bullet holes in them. Now this is where it gets weird. Not even a few seconds after, we kneeled down to inspect the tires and she was gone. No goodbye and no sound of the car. Just vanished. The whole interaction of her getting out of the car couldn't have been more than 15 seconds. I didn't have a doubt in my mind she had vanished, and I looked at my friend and he was very pale, confirming what I was thinking. I don't know for sure what could have happened if we didn't stop. I don't know if the car would have caught fire or something, but I'm not sure if she was an angel sent there to protect us, but the whole situation was very bizarre. Working as a ranger, you always get the odd thing you can't explain, but sometimes they really go beyond the ordinary and into depths that I don't even know. There was one particular thing that we were doing for training where that we all stayed in the same little bedroom together pretty much. I guess it was like group bonding and we were split into different groups, but mine had two other people in it and we're kind of in like bunk beds, but they're more spread out than bunk beds. What was beautiful about this particular one is that you could actually see through the ceiling. They had kind of like a clear plastic sheet at the top, which was actually really nice, and if it wasn't rainy, you'd have a really good view of the stars and things like that. The window wasn't too wide, just really long and went all the way across, I guess to create natural light or something, but it was beautiful for stargazing. Now on the second day as I'm laying there, half asleep, I suddenly jolt awake and realize what I'm looking at's wrong. I can see somebody staring at me. I scream to wake up the other guys and say, "Look, look, do you see that?" And then, one of my ranger friends jumps out of bed and stands up, and the other does the same and I bolt up. We literally see somebody dressed in Victorian clothes floating slowly across from one side of the screen to the other without making a sound. Literally floating. I don't see how anybody else could have done this because they should have surely fell through. And why were they floating? Even if it was somebody using a tree and a cable, there's no way they could have glided across so perfectly. Now, again, I'm not probably the most brave ranger, but I literally screamed. I flicked on the lights and this woke up all the other rangers in the nearby cabin things they were staying in. They all come over, and they could tell something was wrong immediately by the expressions on our face. We then started explaining what had happened, and I can see one of them roll their eyes, and all the others go back to bed. That left all of us in our cabin remaining, just staring at each other. As you can imagine, we didn't sleep well that night, and luckily for us, it was the last day we had to be there, and I was sure glad that that was the case. I still get spooked out thinking about it to this day. Now back in the mid 80s, We were driving through Tennessee on our way to visit friends in Texas. My mom was driving. I, a teenager, was navigating by using a paper map. These were the days before cell phones and GPS. We made it past Nashville on the I-40 pretty late at night. We're maybe an hour outside of the city. I'm charting our progress, old school pencil and paper. We pass an exit, mark it. A minute later, a summer thunderstorm hit. Literally all of the visibility has really dropped now to practically zero. All the traffic's gone to a crawl. And we decide to pull off for the next possible exit and find a motel to spend the night, because there's no way we're making significant progress in the storm. Slow white knuckle driving ensues. An exit looms off on the right. No signage we can see in the downpour, and we take it. At the top of the exit ramp, we turn right towards a brilliantly lit up gas station. Left turn was onto an overpass crossing I-40, no lights, from that side of the interstate. On the dinky little road now, to our right, is a gas station that we're rapidly passing. To our left, and back behind some trees, what appeared to be a hotel. But you couldn't make out much of the signage in the rain. We drove past the gas station before we realised, really, that the road just ended ahead. The gas station was the only building on this side of the road. It went from 1.5 lane paved to 1 lane gravel to tired dirt track and grass everywhere. Now, we passed the gas station and there's only one turn off from this road. It was on our left. We took it and tried to back off and turn around back to the gas station. Unfortunately, the paved slope of that narrow one-way driveway turned off steeply into a mud pit. No backing up. My mom put the car into a low gear, turned hard, and headed back from the gravel road through the mud. We almost made it out, but we ended up getting mired. The front passenger tire caught on the corner of an exposed concrete storm drain, maybe 3 feet from the road or so. Now out of the car, into the rain and mud, we walked to the gas station. The place was spotless, super bright, had two young men behind the counter. What sounds like one of Elvis's songs playing on the radio. Attendant's first word is, "Do you get stuck in the mud?" And they said it super enthusiastic. I mean, way too enthusiastic. Also, these night clerks were dressed in suits and they appeared to be about 30 years out of date. The whole place is weird. Admitting we gotten stuck, we now asked them, is there a tow company we could call? They pulled out a phone book and started talking to each other. Now, it's not a Nashville phone book, but like some little township. Population couldn't have been more than 100 from the handful of white pages, but the book had dozens of yellow pages of nothing but tow truck companies, like literally hundreds of them for this small town, too small to even appear on a map. Attendants had a friendly debate about whose turn it was to come get the car out of the mud. Decided to skip over the company who was theoretical next because there had been some kind of problem with the last time they were called for a tow. Made a decision on who to call and let my mom use their phone. More weirdness. Creepiness intensifies. Still storming though less now, the tow truck arrives maybe 15 minutes later. Brilliant white, not a speck of dirt or mud on it. I've seen vehicles in a new car lot that are actually dirtier. And two young men in the truck also dressed nicely when they step out. Freshly polished patent leather shoes without a drop of mud on them. Starch white shirts, paper hats and bow ties. It was definitely weird to see. Now we hike across the street to the next door to the mud pit where the car is stuck. The tow truck guys are horrified. They almost got out of the mud, they say to each other repeatedly. The subtext from their shock tone is clear. No one must have ever escaped the mud pit on their own. These people will have to take some sort of action to make sure nobody else gets as close as we did to escaping. They tow our car out, easy. We get back to the gas station, pay the drivers for their service. Tow truck drivers let gas station attendants know Mum and I almost made it out of the mud on our own. The attendants are horrified and shocked by this. By now, getting huge, uncanny, weird vibes from all four of these men. And not just them, but the whole place is too clean and brightly lit, and too weirdly out of date. It was surprisingly good for a small town, and it just didn't make sense. Almost perfect, in fact. We are definitely in Creepy Town. If these guys were humans, they were definitely seriously off. If they weren't, they almost had their ordinary human act down to a pat. The tow truck driver drives off. Attendants turn, all friendly again, and ask Mum if we're gonna stay the night in the hotel across the road. They're so excited that we might spend the night there, talking about how great it is. My mum and I made non-committal noises. Return to the car. I tell Mum we are not staying the night here, and she wholeheartedly agrees. The rain is finally letting up. Drive straight out to the interstate. Did not pass go. Did not ever go nearby this creepy old motel again. Drive down the I-40 to the very next exit. It was maybe 5 miles. Pull off, spend the night in a kind of dodgy but ordinary motel. But at least it's not the Bates Motel, we joke. The rest of the trip goes well then. Several days later, on my way home, my mum and I decide that we would really like to see the creepy old town in the daylight again. It couldn't have been more weird than that, could it? Heading back up the I-40, we pass the exit where we actually did spend the night on the way down. Start looking for the exit to the creepy town. Should have been about 5 miles ago, along with an overpass. We get 5 miles down. No pass, no exit, no overpass. 5 more miles before we eventually find the exit off the I-40. It's the one I had marked as being right before the storm first hit. Now, I've travelled many times on the I-40 since, often remarking that, hey, there's the exit where that weird storm should have been. I still don't know where it is to this day, and it almost is like it's just vanished. A long time ago, my brother had an office near the Canadian border in Washington State. I often had to travel over there to help the staff train. Now, being a guy in my late 20s, single, I like to get away for a few days. I also like to make a few extra bucks by volunteering to go wherever there was help needed. I would usually fly up there, but some occasions when I needed to bring equipment or materials down, I would drive. This one particular time was about 17 years ago. We bought a bunch of equipment in a wholesale and needed to deliver this and some other odds and go up to our office in WA State. Of course, everybody knew I'd volunteer for the drive. I was told to drive a box truck up there and leave it and fly back. Prior to this, I would drive a company car or SUV, but no worries, the box truck wasn't that big and probably was about the same size as one of the rental U-Haul trucks. I always preferred to start my driving journey towards the end of the day mostly, because I'm one of those people who likes night driving. For the majority of my journey, it's uneventful. I only stopped at gas stations and the occasional rest stop to take care of nature. At some point near the California-Oregon border is when things start to get bad. It was approximately 1 o'clock in the morning and I had stopped at a rest area, probably the last one on the California side. On the far side, I don't remember seeing some truckers or anything, but basically the parking lot was empty. By this point, I wasn't really thinking of anything creepy or out of the ordinary. I got out of my truck, go into the restroom and take care of business. I wash up a bit and take my sweet time stretching my legs, but when I exit the restroom and walk over to my truck, I noticed a vehicle parked next to mine. I was literally like, this whole parking lot and this person pulls up next to me. Oh well, I jump in my truck and continue on the journey. For about another 10 or 20 miles down the freeway, my truck starts acting weird. Some of the interior lights start flickering. I don't really think anything of it. A little while later, all of the lights in the vehicle goes out. I mean interior lights, running lights and headlights. At this point it's about 2 a.m. and in some weird area of Oregon that I don't know, which is heavily wooded. I can't find a flashlight in the truck cabin. I get so angry, not sure of being scared, to be driving 60 miles an hour in the middle of what seemed like the scene from the Tales of the Dark Side, but I pound my fist on the dashboard and scream. Almost instantly everything come back on. It felt like a frenzy. At the next upcoming rest stop, I decide to pull over again, maybe from adrenaline or that I had to pee. I jumped out of the truck and went to the restroom, although this time I didn't take that long inside the restroom and walk back out of the truck. I remember my thoughts saying that I should stay inside, or at least wait before I attempt to continue at dawn. As I walk up to my truck, I see an older guy, kind of heavy set with grey hair. He's standing next to my truck. I didn't see his vehicle near mine, but just assumed that he was outstretching his legs. As I walk up, he starts a conversation about the weather or something, and a very light snow starts falling, but not the kind of stuff that stays on the ground. I wasn't paying too much attention to him because my first impression is that he's just a lonely old guy that wants to chit-chat. Then, he said something that made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. He's looking at my truck and says, you got any mechanical problems? I stop in my tracks and felt blood rush into my head. I just said no and keep driving, and trying to stay away from him. He then tells me that he doesn't live too far away, and I'm welcome to join him for a hot coffee, and if I need anything, I can even sleep there, on the sofa. That kind of gave me the creeps, but I'm thinking to myself, if I need, I could use this guy. I thought I'm younger and stronger and not afraid to defend myself, so basically, the conversation eventually ends with, well, I better get back on the road before the snow starts to really fall. As I'm driving away, I see that he's walking behind the restroom, so I think to myself, what the heck was that about? My mind is racing and retracting my last few steps, and how did this guy know I was having electrical problems with my truck? I suddenly think back to the rest stop in California, and that the car was parked next to the truck. Could he have done something to my wiring while I was taking my sweet time in the John? A few more miles down the road, no new issues with my electrics, but I decide at the next gas station I'm gonna stop. So I pull up to a gas station in Oregon. Now, they don't let you pump your own gas, so I have to wait for another attendant, and then decide to go in and get a drink. I paid, and as I was waiting for the fueling in my tank, I walk around to the truck and look for signs of tampering up near the front fender, and I see some smears, but not really sure if it's from the road, snow, or what. I just tell myself, okay, you're freaking yourself out. So now I just jump in my truck and pull out of the gas station as quick as I can make a turnaround and get back to the side where, on the ramp, I can actually see what's happening. I eventually make it to the exit, and I see a car parked in the corner and somebody sitting inside. I think to myself, I'm just freaking out, seeing shadows in every corner. It's just a few hours until dawn, maybe in the morning. I'm gonna laugh about this. I'm being followed and set up, maybe? Did I interrupt that old guy when I come out of the restroom so fast? Was he actually waiting for the right time and place to kill me? Well, as I continue driving on the snow, it starts to get a little more concerning. I didn't grow up in this area, or one that has a lot of snow, so I'm not too experienced with this, and I know when to look for hazards, however. But I look out of my rearview side mirror and see a pair of headlights trailing behind me, which is odd because most drivers pass up, and this person is following me. I'm already going well under the speed limit, but I drive a bit more slowly to try and let them pass, but they don't go anywhere. At some point, I'm getting closer to a larger city, Portland. It's still dark and snow is slightly falling now. I decide to pull over again and maybe the car will go around. I quickly exit and I make it towards a freeway, and a gas station is not too far away with a patrol car parked over there. I immediately pull up to the cops and get out. This is a lady officer, and I start making conversation with her about the snow and expected conditions. I'm thinking about telling her about the car behind me, but all of a sudden, I felt silly. What was I gonna say? I think I'm being followed by an old man. She's kind of nice, and we're talking for a bit, and she says to me, where am I going and coming from? She then suggests that I stop for the night and starts to tell me about the dangers of driving sleepy. I took a look around and said, yeah, I will stop for the night. But she tells me that if I go down the road a couple of blocks near the 7-Eleven, there's a motel. I look around and don't see the car anymore. I decide that I will stop for the night and go in for a sleep. As I pull up to the motel, I decide to park the truck away from this area, and I ended up going quite far behind the motel so that I don't have to be seen from the road. I go into the motel room as quickly as I can and lock the door. I can honestly say that I didn't get much rest. I watched TV and nodded off, and I would be wide awake at every sound. My mind kept racing back to recalling all of the events before the California border, to my conversations with the police. Maybe he saw me talking to the cops and decided to take off. Maybe he was waiting for me to pull over at another rest stop and complete his plan, whatever it is. But why would a stranger invite another stranger to his house in the middle of the night at a rest stop? Why did he ask me if I was having problems with the truck? Finally, it's about 7 a.m. and I decided that enough is enough, and I get up to go out and check what's happening and have a big breakfast and then continue on to my office without anything weird happening. But I've always wondered what happened that night. Was I actually being followed or what? I was helping a friend move, and I needed to drive quite a long way for this. I'm somebody who didn't have that much of an issue with driving long distances because it was something I actually done for my job, and I had quite a lot of room in the back of my truck, so it was a relatively easy thing for me to do. Now, driving at night wasn't always something I was necessarily confident with, however. I was aware of the dangers of the roads and nodding off, so I made sure that I always had a really good supply of coffee and everything. Now, at this point in my life, things were going pretty good, but not really perfect, and I felt like it was lacking in a couple of areas. And there was a number of things that I wanted to change, and I was a little bit confused about, so I thought maybe by going on this trip, I was gonna kind of clear my head up in the journey and find enlightenment or something. So I set out for this particular trip relatively early, and it was quite a good thing. I'm able to miss a lot of traffic this way, where people are already at work, and I'm probably going to miss the people that are coming out of work too, because I'm getting away from the big city now. And I had no issue with this. I managed to make ground pretty good, and I was feeling fairly confident. After making some pretty good progress, I saw a gas station that I decided I was going to pull over to. So I start to fill up with gas, and I realised that the person in there is kind of looking at me funny. I don't know why, but they were just sort of staring at me, giving me the old side eye, and I thought, oh boy, this is great. I'm gonna have problems now when I go in there. Sighing, I can finish filling up my truck, then head in. I say, hey, how's it going? And he says, sorry, you can't fill up that truck. You can only fill up buildings, and starts bursting out laughing. Now, I don't know if this is the worst attempt of a joke that I've heard for a long time or what, but it was pretty weird, and the way he was laughing was almost like hysterically. I handed over the money and he said, yeah, I'm gonna get the change in the back, and headed out. I said, no, it's fine, and started to leave when he says, hey, don't leave, and I quickly get back in my truck and leave. I was actually worried that I hadn't filled up with fuel at this point, and maybe it was just water or something stupid, and he was trying to trap me there, but this was the first thing that was odd. You know, it wasn't one of those mainstream ones. It was like a franchise thing, but it looked really dodgy. I suppose it wasn't a good time to stop or place, but I needed to. So yeah, fueled up and ready to go, I continue on my journey now. After a good number of hours, it's starting to get pretty late, and I'm actually off of the main roads, taking some back roads. I do this for a little while, and I don't see any other cars, until eventually one shows up. It's kind of half trailing behind me, but just keeping out of sight, so it's quite different than anything I've ever experienced before. It kind of looks like how I guess you'd imagine an undercover cop car following another, but it wasn't a cop car. It was a really old rickety thing, and I couldn't really see much of it, just other than the fact it was a bit rusty. It didn't even have good headlights, it was that bad. Now, I started to go a bit slower so it could overtake me, but it just held right back. Now again, I go even slower, hoping that this thing won't follow me, but it still held back. I now resorted to pulling over to the side of the road, putting my hand out the window and waving them forward. I waited and waited for probably a good 10 minutes or so, expecting them to pass, but nothing happened. I think this is extremely bizarre, and start the car again and head on out. Not actually sure where they've gone, I just presume that they had stopped for some random reason or headed back, which would be weird regardless, but there's not really too many other things I could have imagined it being. Now, pretty keen to get off of the dirt roads, I start to pick up the pace a little bit and occasionally have to put my main beams on because it's quite dark here. But of course, it's not too great for your car battery to do so all the time, but I didn't have much of a choice. I even nearly ran over some animal, but managed to stop in time. But eventually I make it back to civilization, and I think that's the last I'm going to see of them, whoever it was. Now, at this point I'm starting to run low on gas again. I'm pretty convinced whatever I filled up with before was somehow diluted and that I'd kind of been scammed a bit. But I got further away from them, and that made me feel good, so I wasn't going to complain too much. Now as I'm driving, I can see another gas station up ahead. Now, if the other one wasn't the best, this one that I was looking at right here made that look like the Ritz Hotel. It was really bad. But again, faced with not much of a choice, I had to go in there. I made a note to myself that I had to plan these trips a bit better around getting the correct fuel, because I can't keep doing this. And I didn't know how many more times this was going to happen on the trip. I can see there's no other cars around, but they do have a light on, a single light. I began filling up with the fuel, and the same thing happened weirdly as before. I'm kind of just getting the feeling that I'm being stared at, and I look, and once again, somebody looking like they've just come out of a horror show is staring at me. They're quite big and menacing, and clearly missing teeth, just side-eyeing me. They're trying not to make it obvious, but it kind of looks like when a dog's glancing at you when you're eating food and you look at it and it looks away. Yeah, it's pretty weird. And then, I notice a car stops next to me. Now they slow completely down, and there's a bunch of people staring at me that I can't make out too well. They kind of just give me a dirty look, and I just look back at them, confused, and they drive off. I think, God, I really am in the middle of nowhere now. These people really want to make me feel like I'm not welcome here, and I reluctantly head inside to go and pay for the gas. Now, I had exact change with me, so I was pretty happy that I didn't have to wait around. I get in there, and he just stares at me. I say, hey. And he says hey back in a low voice, like he's completely detached. I then realise that I really need to pee suddenly, and I quickly ask the guy if I can use the restroom. He says yeah, that's fine, it's just in the back there. And I head over. Now this restroom is extremely dark and in horrible condition. There's only one cubicle thing, and a small window near it. There's one light too. And if you close the door to the toilet, it kind of blocks out the light, but that was the least of my concerns. I head in and relieve myself and go to leave when I realize the door's stuck. I think, God, is everything going to go wrong today? I kind of punched on it a bit and pushed it, but it would not budge. And that's when I realized something was wrong. The lock didn't actually go on properly. I say, hey, can you help? I'm stuck here, and that's when I hear the sounds of footsteps. And I can hear breathing. And it's not just the sounds of one person, it's the sounds of multiple people. I kind of go down and I can see at least 5 or 6 feet all surrounding the cubicle, and clearly somebody's leaned up against the door. I bite my hand trying not to scream as I try and figure out an escape plan. I realise that I have to pretend that I'm going along with it and say, hey, I'm going to try and open the door again, just wait. I slowly tiptoe onto the toilet then, and I try and think of options how to escape. I start putting my own force on the door and pretend that I'm trying to budge it open when I realise my only escape is through that little toilet window. The thing is, I don't know whether I'm going to fit through it, but I don't really have much of a choice. I say, hey, get back, I'm going to kick the door now if anybody's there. And I start pretending to thud on the door. While doing that, I slowly climb up to the window, and within probably less than a second, I manage to kick the window open and quickly slide out. I ended up leaving my jacket there in the process, but that was the least of my concerns. I hop down and immediately start sprinting. I'm not looking behind myself, I'm just completely engrossed with trying to get out of there. I sprint probably for another 10 seconds and make it to my truck. I quickly get in, find the keys as quick as I can and start the engine and literally floor it out of there. I had 1 second to look behind and I can see that whoever was in the till had now moved outside and was near the tree line. I drove at absolute top speed pretty much for probably a good 20 minutes and I burnt through so much fuel, but I didn't care. I was so tired and just ready to get over to the friend's house that I didn't stop driving until I eventually reach it, with the fuel gauge basically on empty. When I arrived, I ended up falling asleep immediately, and I woke up the next day, feeling absolutely exhausted. I started telling my friend about what had happened, and he said, yeah, there's some really weird people out there, you've got to be careful. I asked him if he ever heard of anything similar, and apparently people disappear along that stretch of road all the time. I eventually completed the move with him, and I drove back a complete different way, which actually added a whole day to the journey, but I was never going to chance going back there again. Now, I've always wanted to try the car life thing after watching so many people who have done it before, travelling around the country, and I lived in Fort Lauderdale for 5 years and thought I would be stuck there and that was it. Then the pandemic hit and I checked my bank account and I was back paid thousands. Before I know it, I'm packing up all of my stuff and the landlord said I could leave all my furniture that was there and that's fine. I'm now on 95 heading north, laughing and actually leaving, and couldn't believe it. I managed to get a hang of the whole car life thing, and it seemed somewhat normal and comfortable being able to stealth park in different locations without detection. I had not done any off-the-grid stuff yet, but was more comfortable by the time I reached the lake, Tahoe. I was hiking and asked some guy with his dog, who's local, if I could sleep in my car because Tahoe seems tricky. He said that there was a place up the mountains called Hope Valley. It sounded good, so off I went. Now, Lake Tahoe is already very high in altitude, so it was a few thousand feet higher than that. And it was past July. As I reached the area, I saw a small parking lot that was an entrance to a wildlife nature preserve. It was closed and empty, so that would do. I'm all settled in with my blanket and the sun setting in, the temperature's plummeting. Before I know it, it's pitch black and zero visibility. I start to hear wolves howling, and at this point I'm game. This was the experience I wanted. It was a little creepy, but I was fine. I was living what I would normally be watching on the internet. But before the sun went down, I noticed there were garbage cans that were overfilled 15 feet from the car entrance at the preserve. Finally, I drifted off asleep, and was awakened by something at 3 a.m. You couldn't see anything. Anyway, it was so dark, but I overheard the footsteps, heavy ones, right outside the door. At this point, I'm really worried. Then something brushes off against the car, and I'm scared as I don't know what to do. I wait for a couple of minutes, then I open the door. I run around the car as fast as possible to the driver's side. Drove down the mountain and slept in a Motel 7 parking lot like a baby. Never made it through my first and only off-the-grid camping adventure, and I won't forget it. The only other time that something creepy happened was up in Mount Shasta. I drove halfway up the mountain, parked on the side of the road, and got out and started walking into this trail. I made it about 70 yards in, and I hear a low growl. I've never ran so fast in my life. The rest of the trip was the best I ever did in Montana. Now, English isn't my first language, so sorry in advance if this doesn't read too well. Now, I'd been working on a farm throughout the summer. I'd actually been living on site pretty much to save money, and because my truck was quite big. Now, I was very excited to get back home. The particular day came when I set off and I said goodbye to the people I was working with because I knew I probably wouldn't see them again, because soon I'd be going to attend college and I was excited for that. Up ahead of me was a long, long drive, and I was really looking forward to it, so I say my goodbyes and I set off. Now, when I begin to drive, it's raining quite heavily, and I actually think it was really nice, to be honest. I couldn't see too far up ahead of me, but it meant that I was in a nice peaceful area where I could really be away from everyone. It took me about a good 5 minutes of driving before I eventually get out into the main roads. Now, the main roads are nice and there's not really many other cars around. I'd see the other occasional ones, but the closer it got to dark, the fewer and fewer they would become. There was quite a lot of houses around where I was driving, but not too many because I was getting closer and closer to the forest, and obviously when you're there there's not as many houses because there's not as much space for them. I eventually make a turn and finally enter the forest, and it's really beautiful. There's the odd bus station that I pass, but not really much of anything. I'm not driving too quick at this time because it's still pretty wet where I am, so I just have to be cautious and just let my mind drift off. I'm kind of more focused on what I'm going to do next and what my next steps are, because obviously I'm excited to go studying and it's a science degree, so it's going to be pretty involved and it should open lots of opportunities for me to study wherever I want afterwards too and get the jobs I want. Now, every couple of meters I realise that the trees seem to be getting more and more dense, and it's really nice. I guess it's basically me